I think this thing's on. I hit a button, it turned it off, and I tried to turn it back on, so it sounds like it's on to me. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm so sorry for you poor oppressed people who have to listen to two preachers in a row. But at any rate, I'm always glad to be able to preach, amen, even if it is to a captive audience. And so I'll take it any way that I can get the opportunity, amen. Get out in front of a bar. We preach in front of McDonald's at in our town. Our town's not big enough for people to even have to roll their windows down as they go through town. But we preach at their windows. Their windows need to be sanctified by the Holy Ghost as well. So get an opportunity to preach in church. We really appreciate it. We are really glad to be here this weekend. We enjoyed ourselves. I thought I was going to take the night off and listen to Samson preach. I thought this missionary was going to preach as well, so I came in blue jeans. I preach about once a month in my overalls just to remind myself that I am a country boy, I didn't feel like doing that here. Brother Samson, get up, look like GQ magazine. I didn't want to get up a man confident enough to wear a pink tie. You better get in a suit if you're going to preach after him, amen? All right. Well, this oppression will soon be over with, amen, and we will be in heaven, and that's what I want to preach to you tonight. I want to go to heaven, amen? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. 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 If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality, the ability to die, might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So basically what he's saying there in verse number 8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present for the Lord. Our willingness, our heart's desire, is to be absent from this body that gets cancer, this body whose back goes out and knees go out. We're willing to get out of this body and be clothed and to be present with the Lord. And he said, because we are willing and because we are ready to be in heaven, he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And that's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy. It says, study to show thyself approved. A man that really wants to go to heaven will really get prepared to go there. Amen. Amen? I promise you, I've got my wife and three girls, and it's just me and poor little old Reese trying to hold our own in a house with four ladies. And I promise you, before we left from Georgia to come here, suitcases were packed, shoe boxes were packed, toothpaste canisters were packed. Those ladies pack everything. It's because no bride goes anywhere without getting ready to go. Amen. There might be people where we're going, so we've got to curl our hair and put on the shoes, and you know how all that goes. Me and my daughter went to the shoe store the other day and bought a pair of shoes, and the lady was checking us out was telling us about how she gets prepared for church, and she said, I got to have the best shoes, and I've got to have the best dress, because when I go to church, I want them to say, her shoes are on point. In my mind, I'm thinking, that's no way to really go to church. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, that is a way to go to heaven. Amen. When I go to heaven, I want whatever I'm taking with me to be on point. Of course, that's all up to the Lord. Amen. But let me just preach to you for a few minutes here. He says, so we are confident, and I say willing rather. I'm willing to go to heaven. And then he says in verse 2, for this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And plain and simple, in country boy language, that is, I want God to change this body and take me to heaven. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and I pray, oh God, that you would help me to just preach for a few minutes, and God, maybe encourage the brethren. And Lord, if there's anybody not going to heaven, I pray you'd help them to get on board tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the fellows that were saved this morning. Thank you for that. Thank you for the services, the preaching that we've had yesterday, the service we had yesterday, what all's been done today. We pray, oh God, that these things have been received acceptable in your sight. And I pray, oh God, you'd forgive me of my sin. Forgive me, God, of my unworthiness. And I pray, God, you'd help me to preach to the best of my ability and then take that, God, and use it as you will. And I thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, the question is obvious then. If you want to go to heaven, why do you want to go there? And to me, there's a few reasons that are really obvious. And the first obvious reason that I want to go to heaven is because it's better than here. Amen. It's better than here, amen? Now, I have a measure. I'll have to be honest with you. I have a measure of contentment right here. I got a good wife here. Amen. And unlike some, I believe my wife is going to be a woman when I get to heaven as well. Amen. Now, listen, I'm going to be mad if I get to heaven and this fella that I've been kissing on comes up to me and said, hi, Mike, glad to see you up here. Oh, no, I'm going to, if my wife is a man, when we get to heaven, I want to be stationed far, far across heaven. But I don't want to meet her up there, amen. But I will say this, in this life, boy, I'm glad. I'm glad for some things that I have here. Some things that are on this earth. Now, we're supposed to be so heavenly minded that we don't, you know, we just, like the scripture said, we groan. We groan to go to heaven. We groan to get out of this body. But I will tell you, there are some things that I enjoy down here. But the things that you enjoy down here, I just want you to know it's going to be far better when you get over there. I enjoy the body. I enjoy having two arms and two legs. Some people don't get that. Some people don't get that opportunity. Some people don't have all the capabilities or the abilities that other people have. And I'm thankful for what I got here. But, you know, when you get to heaven, this body never going to get sick. Never going to get sick. The little old lady from Tennessee was asking, and I know she's from the mountain, no question about that, because she said she was praying for somebody that had cancer. That's exactly the way they talk back home. But I got news for you. Heaven will cure cancer just like that. There's not going to be none up there. Not going to be. Preachers have to preach nowadays about depression, and those things are real things here, but not going to be a real thing up there. And you can get a great measure of victory over that stuff down here. I mean, that's a different sermon. Of course, we're preaching about something else tonight, but we have to deal with stuff like that here. And people have real problems. And some people's problems are physical, and some of them are mental. Some people just crazy. And that's all there is to that. But, you know, the people, I think some of the craziest people that I know are the people I like the best. If you could just find some crazy friends, then you could pull a lot of your craziness off on them, and they'd just think it's normal. Stand there, you know, picking daisies off the wallpaper, you know, it wouldn't be no problem with them, amen? Sometimes I catch myself sitting around just staring at things like, what was I doing? But anyway, that stuff's all going to get put away when we get to heaven. And boy, there's a lot of stuff about class differences and that stuff. You're not going to get rid of that. You're not going to get some, you know, people talking about racism and you know, even among the races, you know, you got poor people of a certain race and, you know, white poor people and white rich people and none of them like to hang out with one another. And, you know, that you say, well, that's terrible. Yeah, it is terrible, but it's been going on for 6,000 years, and it ain't going to stop till God takes us to heaven. Yeah, amen. And I dare you to try to plant a ghetto in heaven. It's not going to do it. I just get the thought, I'm moving out of this neighborhood because I don't like living next door to whoever it is you don't like. And the Lord, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. Not going to happen. There'll be no separation. You know what Ephesians chapter 1 says? It says that God hath made us accepted in the blood. All these people in here that you think are too spiritual or not spiritual enough, they're your brother and sister in Christ, and you're stuck with them forever. And I hope when you get to heaven, God puts you right next door to them. And Sam Gibb can think what he wants to about the mansions in heaven. I believe they're real mansions with front doors and doorbells, and that's what I believe about it. And I hope God puts you right next door to the person that bothers you the most. Yeah. Amen. And you know what you're going to find out in heaven? You love them. You don't hate them anymore. You know what I've heard since I was a boy? I heard this, and don't say amen to this because it's not true.
Thanks for
warning. Amen. Amen. I always appreciate that because I would say, amen. You know what I heard? I heard when people went to hell, there was nothing but hate down there, and that people would be pulling each other's hair out. But you know what? In my Bible, I find that the rich man, when he went to hell, he had true concern over his brethren. And he said, send Lazarus and preach to them so they don't come to this place. And if people, you know, now let me contrast that a little bit. The rich man was so lost and so degenerate that rather than ask to get out, he just asked to be comforted in his hell. I mean, if you're going to talk to me while I'm in hell, I'm going to say, let me out. Yeah. But his idea is the same idea that people right here on this earth, the people that live in the ghettos and the slums and the drug wards and all kinds, the people that live in that, they don't want to get out until they meet Jesus. They just want to be comforted in their hell. Oh,
that's right.
But even that rich man in hell, he said, hey, send somebody to preach to my brothers. And boy, if they can find in their torment some kind of a care and concern for their loved ones while they're in hell, just think of the joy that you're going to get when you're in heaven with a glorified body, with a mind that thinks right for a change. And you look over and you see your brother and you say, glory to God, there's Michael Shane. God, hallelujah, brother. Glad to see you. Glad to see you. Boy, that'll be a time, won't it? That'll be a shouting time. Hey, I want to go to heaven because it's going to be a better place than here. Amen. Going to be a better place to here than here. I can tell you that for certain. Amen. So I have a measure of contentment being here in my present condition. There's work to be done. There's besides the things that we love my wife, love my children. I love my vehicle. I mean, some things I love down here. I say, well, you love things. Well, I believe God gave me those things. Amen? Well, I can love those things, but there's also, besides that, there's work to be done here. And the mindset that we are going to heaven and reminding yourself of the reality that we are going to heaven will get your mind off. Listen, I believe if the cares of this world would choke out the word, that the word becomes unfruitful. I believe that the word would choke out the world so that the world becomes unfruitful. I'm not going to give all the glory to the weeds of this world. I'll give some glory to the Word of God, and the Word of God can get in your life and start choking out some of this junk you've been spending. Listen, I don't have any problem with junk. I got junk myself. I like cameras and drones and AR-15s. I like all that. I like bullets. I like high-capacity magazines. I just triggered some Democrat somewhere, but I love all of those things. I love all those. You can have all the things you want, but when the things of this world keep you from doing the things you know you ought to be done, you better quit it. Stop it. Put away with it. Because the reality check for the Christian is God going to let me have this when I get to heaven? And I don't like to think on that too much because I'll have to sell some stuff I got. But it is a reality check, isn't it? It is a reality check. And listen, no matter how much it hurts us as we're in the rapture, to let go of some of these things, when we get to heaven, it will be better. Whatever God allows to get up there where he is and whatever he restricts us from bringing with us, it will make us better. Ain't that why you correct your children? Isn't that why you discipline them? Because what you know, see, you've been down the road they're traveling before. You've been there and back, some of you. And you know what's best for them. And you hate to see the little tears come down their eyes when they ain't allowed to have it no more. I've seen that in Baptist so many times. You won't let me have my thing. Well, you can keep it if you want to. I'm just telling you, you ought to let it go. But when God finally makes you let it go and puts you up there where he is, it's going to be a better place.
Amen.
It's going to be a better place. You know, I watch television, but heaven's going to be a better place without television.
Amen.
I do my best. I do my best not to watch X-rated movies and stuff like that.
Amen.
But what the stuff that I do allow, it's going to be better once those things are gone.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says, and I don't think this, I know it's true absolutely right now, but I think it'll be perfected when we get to heaven when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he says, old things are passed away, the sooner the better.
Yeah.
Amen? But the more you can get rid of, the better off you'll be, and it'll never be as good as it'll be when we get to heaven.
Yeah.
Never will be. Amen? Never will be. I want to go to heaven because it's better up there. And then, have you ever heard this from folks that are going to hell? They'll say, and it's usually a guy about as skinny as me that says it, when I get to hell, I'm going to take over. When I get to hell, me and my friends are going to party. You ever heard that? Well, I got news for you. When I get to heaven, me and my friends are going to party.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's going
to... I won't get drunk.
Yeah.
I'll be sober.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There'll be stuff like that right there going on, and you'll never get tired. Amen. 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 That's right. That's right. You know, you holler like that for about 10 minutes, and when you go home, you'll say, how about making me a hot dog? Say to your wife, had a good time at church tonight, didn't we? Can you make me a hot dog? But we can do that for 7,000 or 8,000 years when we get to heaven. Amen. No hangovers, no hangovers. And one of the best things of all is wake up the next day and not regret it. Amen. I started going to church about 1974. My daddy come out of Vietnam, and he saw a lot of stuff over there. He was an Army medic, and he drove an ambulance. And he'd go out there and pick up those Marines and bring them back, and they'd be blown to pieces and stuff. And he came back and drunk himself silly for a couple of years. And then that old white-haired lady come by and knocked on our door, and us kids started riding her bus. And it wasn't just a year or two. My daddy, he had that old long-haired hippie and the thick white belts and the bell bottoms, and every once in a while he'd slip me a little bit of beer in a bottle and say, here, don't tell your mama I did this. And it wasn't the best situation for a kid to be in, but I don't think it was the best situation for a grown man to be in either. And in his mind, he must have been in hell, thinking about all the stuff he was thinking about and escaping from some of that stuff. But I tell you, about 6 or 8 months of hanging around Carl and Jewel Lackey, the hair came off and the bell bottoms became a suit. It was a cheap suit, about like the one I got on. But listen, by the time we'd been in church a year, there was no more hangovers. And my mama didn't look like she'd been drugged through the mud. She looked like, after that, she looked like, I mean, I got a picture of her standing in the front yard of our house after we had been in church about 2 years, and she looked like an angel from heaven. And that's just the result of coming down to a brick and block building that some of y'all don't even think God's here. You think God, this ain't the house of God, but just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth. Listen, my mom and daddy come down to a little brick and block building and listen to a man stand up and run his mouth for 45 minutes to an hour every Sunday. And as a result of that, she looked like an angel from heaven. I wonder what you're going to look like. I wonder how you're going to feel. I wonder how much energy you're going to have when the God of heaven plugs you into 10-phase electricity and just lets you run around and party for the next 1,000 years. Hallelujah! Going to go to heaven, and me and my friends are going to party.
Amen.
Amen? You know what the Bible says in the book of Revelation? chapter 19, it says that the Lord's going to come back on white horses. And so if the folks want to talk about taking over hell, I can just say this. When I get to heaven, me and my friends and the Lord going to come back and take over down here. Amen. We're going to take over down here. And you know what? It don't matter what the liberals think about that. I need a tissue or something to blow my nose. Won't be no blowing the noses in heaven. The Bible said there'd be no more tears. Lest they be tears of joy, I believe, probably shed some of those. But your nose don't run with those quite as bad. Amen. Going to come back and take over. I believe that with all my heart. Going to believe that with all my heart. And things will be better. Won't be no drug addicts or no, you know, one of, having lived up here and having lived down south, there's a couple of outstanding differences. And I don't think some Baptists like the fact that down south, I hear this all the time. Why don't you come up north and start a church, brother? Because there's a church on every corner down there. And people down south are saying, I don't want to go up north because there's a liquor store on every corner up there. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. But I tell you what, when the Lord comes back, there won't be no more liquor corners on no streets. No more. No more. You remember the old snapshots of back in the early days of America when they started busting up them liquor barrels and it was running down the street? I don't even think the Lord's going to let it run down the street. I think he'll just make it to evaporate or something right there. But the Lord's going to pour all that stuff you're chasing after. Lord, I wouldn't doubt, I hope it's not the truth. I hope it's not the truth. But I suspect there's probably somebody in this building addicted to painkillers you don't need. I mean, something the doctor got you hooked on. Now, Lord ain't going to allow stuff like that down here. Look on the news every day. You'll find out something. Somebody's oppressed. And they don't care if you're oppressed. They're just trying to get some agenda that they're... And I hate that people are oppressed, but the news media don't care if you're oppressed or not. They're just trying to push their agenda and get something done, get rid of America. They hate America. And I love America. Amen? And I think America should take over the whole world and ban everybody else and just get them all off of here. But the one thing that would be better than that is the Lord to come back. And the Lord is coming back. And when the Lord gets here, he's going to take over everything. And that just leads me to say this. I want to go to heaven because Jesus is up there. Amen. Jesus is up there. I love my dad. I talked about dad a while ago. And when I get to heaven, I was listening the other day, and Brother Mark said something about it when he was down there preaching. This little old lady used to come sing at our church, or she sang at our church. She was a member of our church. And our preacher was getting old and had to ride around in a wheelchair. And she sang this little song about, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look up my preacher and we're going to shout all over heaven. And that's probably true. That's probably true. When I get to heaven, I'm probably going to look him up and say, well, I didn't, you know, kind of like Jacob said. He said, I'm so many years old and I hadn't reached the level. I hadn't reached the greatness of my fathers. And I'd probably say that to old preacher Lackey. I didn't quite do it as good as you did, but I tell you what, I'm thankful for your you'll probably do the same thing with preachers and grandpas. And boy, I'm so thankful my grandpa got in church because, I mean, it was my grandpa's church that my mom and dad got right in. I give Sister Lackey all the credit for going out and bus route and reeling us back in when my family was out and in the depths of despair. That old grandpa set the stage. Well, I mean, my mama's grandpa set the stage way back when he laid down the booze and started marching towards Zion. Amen. I mean, I'm thankful for that stuff. There's no doubt I'll go hug his neck and all this stuff. And, you know, you hear this frivolous Christianity, they're going to go hug Jesus. Man, I just get inside the same room he is and get on my face and say, I'm glad to be here. Just glad to be in the same room. You remember, Earl Hughes used to preach, just glad to be in the line. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I don't know that Jesus wants me hugging him around the neck or even grabbing the hem of his garment, but I'll stay off back there in the corner and just holler, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Amen. Jesus will be up there. And then I can say this, will you be there? Will you be there? You can be there. You know, I quoted it to you a while ago, Ephesians chapter 6. He said you'd be accepted in the beloved. You say who? Whosoever. Whosoever will. You say, you know, somebody said, I think it was Brother Sampson. I'm not trying to correct you, Brother Sampson. Not at all. But I've heard it said many times. I've heard it said many times in churches, in sermons, and it sounds good, and in a sense it is good, and in a sense it is right. There's a whole lot of things. That's one of the things about Christianity that make you have to study, because in a sense something is this way, and in another sense it's this way. Amen. Like the Bible says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And it also says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. But I heard it said, and I've heard it said many times, I'm not better than you. You ever heard that while you was preaching? But you know what the Bible says? It says the righteous is better than the wicked. Yeah. Oh, well, you think, well, now wait a minute before you get mad at me. This is not an exclusive club except for the fact that you must be born again. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If you don't think you're going to heaven, you can. Yes. You can. Because the Bible says, whosoever will. Hey, you might be sitting there, you might be the worst dope addict in the world. Hey, if I get up and go down there, they'll all know it. We know it anyway. Hey, guess what? All these people in here in three-piece suits and stuff and ties and stuff like that, they're just as bad as you are. They're just as bad as you are. If they didn't have a King James Bible and a praying knee, they'd probably be out there drunk right now or dead from it years ago. But he said, whosoever will, let him come. Jesus is going to be there. Will you be there? I know that I know that I'm going to be there. Not because of my own goodness, because Jesus took me in. Jesus saved my soul. And he'll do the very same for you. Brother Allen, you come ahead.